Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Tonight I want to talk about a passage that Brother Rodney read to us just a few moments ago from James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. And I want to begin by asking some questions by way of introduction, and these relate to this specific passage. Does your religion impact your life? Does it cause you to make choices differently than you would if you were not a Christian? Would it make your life a lot different than it really is? Are you serious or are you superficial with regards to your religion? Now, unless you don't know what I'm talking about, is your religion such that you think about it? You think about what you're going to do, and it really bothers you one way or another. If I do this, that's wrong, and God wouldn't be happy with me. Or is there a superficiality? Is there a coating on the outside of you that everybody sees this outward coating, but they don't really see the inward you and your heart? Is the person you are the one that people sees on Sunday and Wednesday, but you're really a different person at the other parts of that week? What would you describe as your level of faith? Would you say that your faith is weak? Would you say your faith is just about like everybody else? You know the word for that is mediocre. Or would you say that your faith is strong? Now, to go along with that question is, how active is your faith? What does it prompt you to do? Because James is going to deal with all of these questions in some fashion or another in the study of the book of James. And tonight we're going to talk about faith that works. And I want us to look at the passage. There's an outline that you will see develop. Three times James will say in this passage, faith without works is dead. So we're going to look at verses 14 through 17 and look at the claims there. Then second of all, we're going to take verse 18 through verse 20 and look at the cooperation that should exist between our faith and our works. And then finally, to talk about some conviction in verses 21 through 26. Let's begin first of all. And I want you to notice, in fact, let me encourage you, if you don't have your Bible with you, there's pew Bibles in front of every one of us. There's several here on the pew, so because I'm not going to be able to read every verse that I'd like to read tonight, so I want you to look specifically. He says, if someone says that he has faith, here's a person making a claim. I have faith. Now, just making that claim does not make it so. I could stand up here and tell you that I am a brain surgeon, but that wouldn't make it so. A person can say, I have faith, but that doesn't necessarily make it so. In fact, the Bible points out that there are people who make claims that they can't substantiate. In fact, it's easy for a person to even deceive themselves. A person to say, yeah, I'm a believer. Yes, I have faith when I may not have. Let me carry to the book of Proverbs first. Chapter 20, verse 6. Most men, not just some, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Now, if I were to go down the line, in other words, I would start over here and I'd say, do you have faith? You know what everybody would say? Yes, I've got faith. Do you have faith? Yes, I've got faith. Do you suppose that if I were tonight to start going door to door, and people would take time off from watching the television to be able to come to the door, and I'd say, do you have faith? Well, sure I have faith. Well, then why aren't you in church? Uh-oh. Why aren't you in church? But yes, I do. I believe. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Do you suppose that in your own mind you're thinking, yeah, I'm all right? Everything's okay. No problems. As I come to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Paul says, "For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord." Paul would say, as I look at my life, I don't see anything wrong. But that doesn't justify me. Because there are people who are deceiving themselves. Listen to James 1 and verse 22. This is the context. "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Can I sit and listen and make myself think it's all okay? Sure I can. Does that make it all okay? No, it doesn't. In fact, the proof of one's faith is in what he does. It's in the doing. And these two passages, the one from 1 John and the one from Ezekiel, I believe really are helpful toward a person seeing the truth of God's Word on this subject. And a test case here in this passage is this. He said, "If a man sees his brother or his sister, and what he sees in them is they are naked," that is, they don't have any clothes, "and they are hungry." And he says, "And you say unto them, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, but you don't give them the things needed for the body." He says, "What does it profit?" Now, if you're the person who's hungry, if you're the person who doesn't have any clothes, and I want you to imagine, you know how cold it's been this past week. I want you to visualize yourself having to live outside because you don't have any a place to live. And your coat is the only thing that protects you from the elements. And then you don't have a coat. And you're having to live outside and somebody comes through and they're a brother or sister in Christ and they've got three or four coats in their closet. And you say, "Well, I sure wish you could be warm. Sure wish you could be filled and hungry." How would you feel if somebody did not give you anything? Hurt your feelings, number one. But number two, it would hurt because you would be cold and because you'd still be hungry. And God's perspective on that is, if you're claiming to be a Christian and you're not doing anything, he said, your faith isn't real. It's superficial. It's only a pretend. And it's dead. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God has been perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." You say you're a Christian, you make that claim, walk like a Christian. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 33 verse 31, God speaking to Ezekiel, "So they come to you, as people do, and sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." Did you hear what Ezekiel wrote? God said, "Ezekiel, they're going to come and they're going to sit in front of you. And they're going to listen to what you have to say, just like people do. And they're going to get up and they're going to walk out and they're not going to change a thing about their life. They're going to do whatever profits them." Do you believe that that's the case? It is. Making a claim, James says, unless you do something, you can't prove that you're a Christian. Which brings me to verses 18 through 20. "You say you have faith, but I have works." Now think about that statement. You've got faith, I've got works. What do they mean by that? Some believe that it's an either or, and when the Bible says it's both and. Someone says, well, I may not have the works, but I've got the faith. I believe. Now, you may have the works, then I've got the faith. To some people, they want to live in the theoretical, while other people want to live in the practical. As if one is one is the other. Some people want to study the Bible all the time. Say, oh, let's see what it says. Let's learn what it says. Okay, let's study it. Other people say, well, I don't go in much for all that Bible study, but you know, if I see somebody out here hungry, I'll help him. I see somebody out here in need, oh, I'll do everything in the world for him. Folks, it's not either or, but in the Bible, it's both and. And I think I can take the Scriptures and prove that to you. Because in this passage, he said, you believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble. If we think mentally, accepting the fact that there's a God in heaven, that He's the one true God, and that you and I accept the fact that the Bible is His Word, if that is okay, you're not any better than the demons. Because the demons know that there's a God in heaven. The demons know that He's the only true God. The demons know that the Bible is God's Word, and there's no doubt in their minds for it. You see, there's got to be some cooperation between our believing and our doing. Which brings me to this idea of cooperation has to be there to be effective. And in the Bible, it's called obedience. You can take the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Begin with that very first word of chapter 11. Go all the way to the very end of that chapter, and it even bleeds over to chapter 12. And he's going to hit one right after another. Whether it is Abel, whether it is Noah, whether it is Abraham and Sarah, or going back to Enoch, I skipped him. Those men walked by faith and they did something. And people can see our faith when it's in action and they can know it. And there's a second time that he's going to say here that faith without works is dead. It's not alive. Listen as we read Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing whether he was going. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go to this place over here that I'm going to give you and your family. And the Bible doesn't say Abraham argued with God. It says he got up and he went. Too many people want to argue with God. Give Him excuses why they don't have to do what He has told them to do. The people of faith in the Bible did something. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Before I read the passage, I want to give you the context. There's a man, a paralytic man. He knows that Jesus is healing people. His friends know that Jesus is healing people at Capernaum. And they want to carry this paralytic man in so Jesus can heal him. But they get there and there's a crowd. They're in a house. And the crowd is so much that you can't even get in the door. Well, let's go around to the other side. You can't get in. These guys climb up on the roof. They cut a hole in the roof and they let this man down. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed when Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus saw their faith. Jesus can see it, and so can everybody else. Are you a person of faith? You've got to cooperate by what you're doing, and people can see it, and people can know. Now let me carry you to the third part of this passage, and that is conviction, in verses 21 through 26. And this is an important part of this section of God's Word. In fact, if I were to choose a part of the book of James that needs to be taught upon, needs to be studied by the religious world, it would be this section, because there's been so much misunderstanding. The religious world is confused about the Bible teaching here on works, law, and faith. Now let me illustrate to you. Many of you have heard of the great reformer by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a man who was a Catholic priest. But he believed the Catholic Church was going astray. And he believed that what they were doing by the selling of indulgences was an offense to God. And in that sense, I agree with him. But Martin Luther also believed that person was saved by faith alone. And he would stress that to the exclusion of many other things. In fact, there's a lot of these solas that you've heard of. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Sola Grace, by grace alone. And he would say, a man is saved by faith alone. And people would say, but what about the book of James? And he said, well, the book of James is, and I'm quoting now, a rather strawy epistle. You see, in his eyes, he couldn't resolve what the book of James taught. Some stress that one is saved by faith alone. In fact, you'll probably have your friends and your neighbors who will say, yeah, I believe we're saved by faith alone. And in verse 24, James says, you are not saved by faith alone. Listen, you see then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Oh. So I've got to understand something here now. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? Is a man justified by faith, or is he justified by works? Now let me bring this out, because some people say, well, preachers don't ever deal with contradictions in the Bible. They don't ever deal with the real difficult passages. Well, we're going to tonight. I want you to read with me. We'll read Romans 8, verse 28, or chapter 3, verse 28, and Galatians 2 and verse 16. And we read those, and then we're going to look at James chapter 2, 21 and 2, 25 that says both Abraham and Rahab were justified by works. Now, let's go and read Romans 3, 28. Therefore, we conclude, when you conclude something, that's something that goes before it, so you need to read that, that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. A man is justified apart, separate from the deeds of the law. He's justified by faith. And what Martin Luther would say is, see right there? A man's not justified by works, by deeds of the law. He's just justified by faith only. Or, if we go to Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And so some people say, see right there it is. It's clear that a man is not justified by works of the law. And I know in your mind you're thinking right now, well, I see that. But then let's go to James 2, verses 21 and 25. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by the works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Is there a contradiction here in God's Word? Absolutely not. You can say, well, I don't understand then. How is it? Let me point out to you where men make the mistake. The main mistake many make is not understanding that in the book of Romans and in the book of Galatians, Paul is not talking about law in general. He's talking about the Old Testament law, the works of the law. And in the context of both of them, and I challenge you, Read the book of Romans, read the book of Galatians, and you will see very plainly the works of the law, the works of the law. And in fact, I can prove that to you from Acts 13, verse 39, and then going to the context of Romans 3. One is under law to Christ. Let's read and see what we find here in Acts 13, verse 39. And Paul is preaching here at Antioch, and he says, "And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all the things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." You couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. But you can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, let me go to Galatians 3 and see that context. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that the mouth may be stopped, every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You want a parallel? Go to Romans 7:14. He's going to tell you, "I would not have known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Verse 21, he goes on, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law of Moses," that's what he's talking about, "has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at His present time His righteousness, that He might be both the just and the justifier of him that has faith in Jesus." What he's saying is those sins that were committed under the Old Testament, there was no justification for them. No flesh could be justified. There was no means by which those sins could be forgiven. But God righteously passed over those sins, righteously justified man, because he knew what Jesus was going to do. And so the blood of Jesus flowed backward as well as forward. We understand what he means when he talks about a man can't be justified by the law. There's no way the law could justify you, because there's no animal sacrifice. Hebrews chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. There was nothing in that Old Testament law that could justify a man. So when I read Romans and I read Galatians, I understand that's what they're talking about. Well, is there law under the New Testament? Is there law under Christ? Listen to Romans 8 and verse 2. And if you don't get it the first time, read it two or three times. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." In this passage, there's two laws. The second law made me free from the first law. The second law is the law of Christ. The first law is the law of Moses. And a man is under law to Christ and works. Now there's so much more that I could include in this lesson and put in, but let me sort of try to tie it all together. Three times in this passage, James says, "Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." He's trying to tell us something. That in God's eyes, there has to be both the believing and the doing. He begins this passage by saying, "If a man says that he has faith, but not works, can that faith save him?" We're talking about saving faith. And obviously, the only kind of faith that's going to save you is one that is active. Do you believe? And I'm going to go back to the questions that I asked in the beginning. What would you consider the level of your faith? Would you consider it to be small, average, or strong? How would you determine whether or not your faith was small, average, or strong? You'll have to determine by what you do. And as you look at your life, do you really believe in God? This evening, if you're not a Christian and you really believe, when we sing this invitation song, you're going to come forward and say, I'm willing to repent of my sins. I'm repenting. And I want to confess my faith in Christ. And I want to be baptized because I believe. And I'm proving I believe by what I'm doing.